All the big boys, all the Berties, all the envelopes, yeah, they hurt me. Lyrics written by a young Irish singer making waves for her music, for her politics, and her battle with the online trolls. Welcome to the summer of CMAT.
Crazy woman on stage, screaming, gay people, funny little matching outfit.
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and CMAT has been making headlines recently from her crack at former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern in a new song, which I referenced a couple of minutes ago, to a storming set at Glastonbury, to a very public misunderstanding with the BBC. And she's back home in Ireland this weekend to perform at All Together Now Festival at the beautiful Kermore in County Waterford. You are all in for a treat if you're heading down to that. And joining me today to take a deep dive into the wonderful world of Ciara Mary Alice Thompson, CMAT, are Molly King, Head of Development at Other Voices, where CMAT has performed, of course, on a number of occasions, and broadcaster Anya Kerr, a self-confessed CMAT super fan. You're all very welcome to News Talk Daily to talk about one of my favourite people, CMAT. Go to you, Anya, first. How many times have you seen her live? How much of a super fan are you?
I think I can call myself a C-Matty, a play on Swifties, but yeah, six times since December 2022, and hopefully going to get to see her for a seventh time later this year at her sold out gig back here in Dublin. And back in 2022, when I saw her first, I remember coming out that night and trying to place her, you know, was she like Kate Bush or Florence and the Machine or Dolly Parton, and realizing actually you can't place her. She is something new. And I tweeted back in 2022, a star is born, just left it at that. And she has proved us right every single day since. She is such a grafter and deserves all the fame and fortune that is coming her way now.
I actually sent you a message on Instagram, which you ignored, but it's okay. I'll forgive you for that, Anya Kerr, the night that you saw her twice.
Yeah, so as part of her Glastonbury preparations earlier this year, she has now said that she wants to do the set basically 15 times in advance. And so down in the Guinness Storehouse back in May, she had a very publicly advertised gig where she was going to do this, but down the road, hours in advance, in a little bar in Thomas Street, there was about 30 Uber fans invited in there, where it was just her, completely stripped down, just CMAT and her guitar singing acoustically in this little living room setting. And it was just phenomenal because people who know CMAT know it's generally all cowboy hats and boots, and it's the teened t-shirts and the tooth jewels and brightly coloured tights, and she's faking fainting, and it's all of these unexpected odd dance moves, which we love and adore. But to see her in that setting, sitting on a stool, just doing her thing, going back to the catalogue that she started with in 2021 up to the present day, it was just so special. Will genuinely stay with me for life in terms of just seeing someone in her power, in her moment, and just completely owning it.
Oh, I need a blessing and a handsome and single woman.
I remember getting an email and a text from a friend of mine in London, Henry, and he's a big muso. He goes to a gig, I'd say, five times a week. And he sent me this message in 2021, which he would rarely do, to say, you need to check this person out. He knew I loved country music and he knows I'm Irish. And he said, I've just been to see this girl play a stormer of a set in London. Her name is CMAT. And he sent me the link to I Want to Be a Cowboy. And I was just blown away. To go back to something you say, Anya, I thought, what is this girl? What is this music? I actually don't feel like I've seen this or heard this before. This is unique. It was humorous and it was intelligent and it was emotional. And then I went to see her also in December 2022. And her concert is something to behold. Describe what it is like to see her up on stage.
Yeah, and you, as you say, Ciara, like it's that, it's indie pop, it's country melodies. And so you're getting this, you know, these pop bangers that stay with you and these melodies, but it's the depth to it. And I think everyone finds themselves in the songs that are about heartbreak and their sadness and love and loss, and talking about self-identity, and then these moments of joy and love and just the humor she brings to it. And so she's one of these people who can do a lot of context shifting, where one moment it is love and joy and humour. And another moment, she's talking about her political principles and the stances that she's taken. So she has found this way where she can use her platform. But you mentioned December 2022 there. I remember just being really struck by the sense of community that night. Here was someone, she's not an overnight success. Like, this is hard graft, bloody hard work all of these years. She is self-made and she's brought a very diverse and inclusive community along with her. Like, she's this incredible ally of the LGBTQ plus community. And everyone there that night, of all ages and backgrounds, singing every single word of her song. And when you mentioned, like, I want to be a cowboy baby, and she always does the right cue, the Dunboy and County Meath two-step. And you see audiences, it doesn't matter if it's Glastonbury or the Olympia Theatre, starting to move in total unison and harmony with her. It's just phenomenal. And she's just this natural-born entertainer with these dance moves that can be unpredictable. And then, you know, she's doing these unified unison dance moves with what she calls her sexy band. And she's this lyricist and she's funny and it's heartfelt. And I was thinking about her last night, like, if Bruce Springsteen was the voice that told us about a changing America, I think she's the voice now here in Ireland that is teaching us retrospectively sometimes about a changing Ireland, what it means to be also a young woman in the world today, a young person maybe coming from diverse communities, and really showing people what it looks like to take your power back, take your voice back and really truly own it.
Yeah, I mean, she sings about mental health, body image, fame, gender, love, politics. Molly, how would you describe the genre? Can you?
Oh, that's a hard ask.
Just stinker of a question.
I think what's interesting when you think about genre is that CMAT kind of typifies maybe these kind of younger artists who are very genre fluid, you know, like they move through genres in a way where they don't really feel borders. And I think that's fantastic. I think there's a reason why younger artists have kind of consistently been harder to pin down in terms of what box they fall into, as Anya put so well. Like, you know, you can't pin CMAT down. What you do know about her is that when you listen to her, you absolutely know that it's her. Like, she's incredibly distinct and authentic. You know, from an artistry point of view, that's exactly what, you know, an audience is looking for. They want, you hear one bar of CMAT song, you know it's CMAT. Her influences are so wide ranging, you know, like she has the obvious kind of country music influences, the Dolly Partons and Lucinda Williams and Patsy Cline's, but then she moves all the way into folk music, the McGarrigle sisters, Dori Previn, and then she might move further on to kind of Pentangle.
English band Pentangle are very important to me because they are the connecting factor between me and all of the older men in my life. Anytime I meet a man over the age of about 65 who, you know, has worked in music, I will tell them that one of my favourite bands of all time is Pentangle, and then we're off for a maybe 2 hour long conversation.
But then there could be like Kelly Clarkson or Charlie XCX, you know, it's a melting pot, and she's incredibly adept at kind of synthesising all of those influences, I guess, and then kind of expressing them in her own way. And I think, yeah, it's very, very exciting as a music fantasy.
And she also has an absolute banger of a voice. You know, she has this ability to perform and to write, but she has this instrument in her voice that backs it all up, doesn't she, Molly?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Her voice is so distinct. Like, she has a very specific singing style. And I guess, you know, she really has the capacity to belt. I don't know if anyone else has seen this, but the Hootenanny, you know, the Lady Ritual, every year they do it for New Year's Eve. They had CMAT on and she did a version of Without You, you know, like I Can't Live If Living Is Without You, huge power ballad. I'd urge anyone listening to this to go and look it up on YouTube because it is just a masterclass in backing yourself on a huge song, and she really, really pulls it off. And I was kind of watching it, you know, when you know that someone's about to lift into a big chorus and you want them to make it, you know, you want them to reach that height. And like, I was almost watching it tensely to see if she was going to hit it. And she really, really, really does. You know, she backs herself 100%. And I think she always has. From the minute the first single came out, she very much knew what she was in for. I think musicians like that, you know, stars, I suppose, or musicians that stand out for their star quality, I think the thing that you recognize about them is from when you first encounter them all the way along, they are the same in terms of how much they believe in what they're doing. Like, there's a kind of unwavering faith in the artistry, in the music, in what she's putting out there. And that has been the same since day one. And I think that is kind of that star quality, you know?
And it's kind of refreshing. I did see her take on as well Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights. And I thought, whoa, that's confident to take that song on that platform when you are not that well established yet.
I've so far only done things that are incredibly self-indulgent. But somehow this one really takes the cake. I have wanted to do this since I was probably about 14 years old. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Because I'm 28 now and I'm not in Dunboyne.
But it spoke to her self-belief, I think, even though she has sung and spoken quite openly about her own struggles and about her mental health, Molly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I think sometimes, particularly with artists, we can kind of confuse, you know, you can have a really secure self-belief in what you're doing as an artist, but it doesn't mean that you cannot be mired in, you know, mental health issues or doubt or whatever. And I think that's what makes her music kind of universally engaged with and loved, is that she goes out on stage and she is a consummate performer. You know, she really is like a showgirl in the most serious and best way possible. Like, she takes what she does seriously. It's fun. It's heartfelt. It's emotional. It's angry. You know, I've read a bunch of interviews with her and I think she often says, like, I just want people to understand me. And I think that's kind of a common thread with musicians, is that it's not to say, like, I have this all figured out and everything about my mental health and how I feel about myself is together. It's more like, here is the truest expression of myself and I hope you understand it and I hope you see some of yourself in it, you know. And I think she very much kind of illustrates that.
I remember hearing for the first time the lyrics of No More Virgos. I remember seeing her perform it at the Olympia and she brought on two drag queens onto the stage and it was just this really euphoric, fun moment. And the lyric was, sipping on a drink that you bought for me and I'm losing steam. Oh no, my mental health is banking on my chastity and you're bad for me, although. And I just thought, oh man, who hasn't been in that place where you're sitting with some fella that you shouldn't be with and you know this is going to end badly, but you go for it regardless. It was just so relatable. It was just such a clever lyric. You mentioned there, Anya, that she's from Dunboyne and she does this Dunboyne two-step. But what else do we know about her and her background and her backstory?
Age 29 now, and Ciara Mary Alice Thompson, so hence how we get our CMAT. And even when, you know, in front of the Glastonbury audience recently, she introduced herself as, my name is CMAT, and I'm literally just a young one from Dunboyne, Dublin, depending on who you ask. And so she has, you know, had a Dublin part upbringing and County Meath. She's been releasing music since 2021. Really launched herself as a solo artist really at the same time as the pandemic. So came out with the debut single Another Day and really no opportunity to promote it. So she had to do the hard yards as a lot of people did during the pandemic. But in terms of that backing herself, like even from the earliest days, she used to refer to herself as a global pop star.
I am CMAT, greatest pop star of all time.
She was being super ambitious, really lobbing the ball and saying to everybody, this is where I am headed. 2022, we got that debut album, If My Wife Knew I'd Be Dead. And it's probably fair to say she really started building up the Irish following that then set the scene for 2023 Crazy Man For Me album, which really introduced her to a whole new international audience and Jules Holland, Graham Norton show, Glastonbury on the small stage, Glastonbury on the bigger stage this year. The pop rollout, that is the Stay for Something that she tends to always close out a night on. And we've seen the awards, the nominations that have followed, the Robbie Williams of the world talking about this incredible duet that she has with John Grant, just as majestic. You know, Where Are Your Kids Tonight? Elton John has heaped so much praise on her, you know, just the loving how bold and eccentric and, as he says, a touch mad, and loves it all. And, you know, through all of this, you've seen also someone who's incredibly principled. You know, even the Guardian newspaper last year referred to her as, quote unquote, pop's gobbiest, gaudiest star. And that was coming around at the time where she had cancelled a set at the Latitude Festival due to a sponsorship that she felt did not align with her own ethics and stances publicly. So you've seen her, you know, do the Glastonbury stances, but then end with a rallying call, you know, Free Palestine. And so she is constantly using that platform where a Guardian is calling her spectacularly brilliant and the Rolling Stones saying she has it all, and yet trying to find those ways and means to talk about the LGBTQ plus, talking about Palestine, and talking about the responsibilities on all of us to use our voice. And she's continually doing that. And we see that as she's done this drip feed of all of the singles, the running, planning, taking a sexy picture of me, the Jamie Oliver petrol station, ahead of what is going to be her third album release at the end of August. And already it is clear to see it's going to be her best one yet.
Earlier in the summer, she made it to the pyramid stage at Glastonbury. Those of you who were lucky enough to be there, or like me, watched it at home on the TV, will have seen thousands of people dancing along to one of her latest singles, Take a Sexy Picture of Me. Fresh off the stage, CMAT told the BBC what it took to make it to one of the biggest platforms in music.
It's taken like my entire life, I would say. It's just constant grafting. Like, if I look back over the last 5 years, which is from, you know, I've been gigging and writing songs and doing music on a semi-professional level or whatever since I was like 16, 17, but I didn't get signed until I was 25. And so those past 4 years has just been like almost 100 shows a year, 100 live shows a year, like gigs in venues that has like 12 people there, gigs that have 50,000 people there, hopping between the two all the time and kind of just not taking your foot off the gas. It has kind of been 4 years, no holiday. And I think that's how it happened.
And we can see the Take a Sexy Picture of Me, the power of that song, because it has just blown up TikTok because of this dance trend based on the song. If this was being filmed right now, I would be asking you, Anya Kerr, to do the Woke Macarena. Do you know it? And can you explain it to our listeners this morning if they don't?
Okay, so scene set here. She wrote this song in response to a lot of online trolling in response to her physical appearance. And the track begins with her singing about trying to wax her legs with sticky tape when she was 9. And this pressure that a lot of women listening to your podcast today, it will resonate with, where she felt this pressure even from the youngest age to appear attractive. And so the song starts with her having a horrible time of late, as she calls it. It's taken on such resonance. You've had the New York Times even writing an article, "What is the Woke Macarena and what makes it woke?" And basically what has happened, that you had this influencer, Sam Morris, went along, took the song and created actions to it. And so you're taking kind of this old version of the Macarena, but it's got these lyrics. They're just really simple and silly. I did the butcher, I did the baker, I did the home and the family maker, I did the schoolgirl fantasies. And you've got people across the internet doing and miming, chopping and baking, just silly stuff. But you had Lola Young and Julia Fox and Cher Lloyd and all of these other contemporaries of CMAT doing all of the actions. CMAT had to get in on the act herself retrospectively, because I think probably at the start she kind of was worried, God, had Sam Morris maybe misunderstood the song's message, because it's actually about how a woman contorts herself in various ways to gain acceptance. But CMAT has since gone on saying, no, it's a great dance. And I think what the internet, led by Sam Morris, have been doing is trying to actually double down on the irony of bodily performance, but it's just funny. It's about female empowerment, and it's just using the simplicity of dance moves to spark joy, but actually make a point about how we as women have to just kind of be our own bad selves and not worry about how maybe sometimes the industry tries to set up a certain perception of what it looks like to be attractive.
Yeah, and I saw that again, Molly, after she was infamously trolled for her looks at an appearance at a BBC Music Festival, that she turned up then at the Brit Awards. Do you remember in that fantastic black dress that was cut right down so you could see her two bum cheeks? And she said in an interview later, I think with BBC Radio 4, that she did that as a bit of a two fingers to all of those who commented on her body and her looks.
Yeah, I mean, she's not the first woman in the public eye to be subject to unbelievable abuse and scrutiny over her body or her looks. But there is something about her. It seems like with the trolling in particular, like she did this BBC Radio 1 big weekend performance and the BBC had to disable comments on TikTok, which was just brutal, you know. And I think she herself said she felt it was because a lot of the people who were seeing that content were seeing her for the first time. You know, they weren't CMAT fans. They weren't people who were familiar with the music. Particularly on TikTok, the way people communicate is just so, can be so brutal. And obviously there's a huge amount of misogyny going on there. And I think the way she handles it is great grace and humor. But I, you know, it shouldn't be made light of either. Like there's no way that that degree of commentary on, you know, one's own body or whatever, like it goes in. She reads the comments. You know, I wish that we were living in a world where she didn't have to be subject to that ridiculous level of scrutiny, particularly when there's already such a disparity in the way that male artists of the same level, if not more famous, are discussed. Like their bodies are not talked about in that way and they're not reduced to their physical features. You know, it's very frustrating to watch, and in a way it feels quite regressive in the context of what she's trying to say and what she's trying to do. Now, there's no better woman to deal with it than CMAT, but yeah, I wish she didn't have to deal with it at all.
Yeah, hear, hear to that. Someday maybe, ladies, that'll stop, but I doubt it, I have to say. And there was a bit of a kerfuffle in recent weeks about the single Euro Country being played on BBC Radio 1. What exactly happened, Molly?
It's a little bit confusing. I'll just relay what happened, and it's hard to kind of make sense of it. So CMAT has this new single, Euro Country, and it was having its first play on Jack Saunders' show on BBC Radio 1. And, you know, those kind of features are big, a big kind of promo moment. It's like the first play in the world, you know. The song went out, and it went out having been edited. So I'm sure all of us here have heard the song at this point. So it opens with beautiful verses at the beginning are Oscailge, you know, they're in Irish. Those Irish language verses had been edited out of the song. So the first play of the song happened without essentially the first few lines of her singing her own song. And she went on Instagram stories and said, I don't know why this happened. I'm really annoyed about it. They've said they're going to play it in full tomorrow and apologised, etc., etc.
I just want to say really quickly that it was not my decision to have the Irish language edited out of the first ever play of Euro Country on radio. It was not my decision, and I don't know if it was a mistake or what happened, but that was not my decision. I don't know who edited it out. That was crazy of them. But yeah, not my decision, but they're fixing it.
So this obviously created a bit of a storm online. Lots of kind of publications have covered it. Now, since then, the BBC have come out and said, we didn't edit the track. This is the radio edit we received from the label. And as far as I know, she's distributed by AWOL. So it's not a major label. I don't really know how that could have happened. If it did happen, clearly the radio edit wasn't approved by CMAT and the label didn't discuss it with her first. Whatever happened is strange and confusing. I guess it's kind of touched a nerve with people off the back of the kind of highly charged nature of Irish language music being played on the BBC, you know, with regards to NECAP. And I think there is kind of a culture going on in the BBC of fear and just anxiety around what they play and what they don't play, whether rightly or wrongly. So I think it's kind of all been viewed in the context of a much bigger and wider conversation about Palestine politics and how artists are expressing themselves. And obviously Irish artists have found themselves at the centre of that conversation.
Which a lot of people in this country will have applauded, I would assume, Anya. What it did take away from was what this song is about, which is a real social commentary on the economic crash. Many of us remembered it, many of us lived through it, and how it affected people. And she has written just again, bravely, honestly, clearly, Anya, about how the economic crash affected her when she was living in Dunboyne and the people around her. And it's a reminder, actually, a pretty stark reminder, because you'd nearly forgotten of how bleak that time was.
Yeah, like the songs in it go back to her 12-year-old self, you know, that boom to bust time in Ireland, growing up in Dunboyne, County Meath. Her father had a job in computers, as she says herself. They wouldn't have had much money. They weren't affluent, but they were fine. What she talks about, and she's been very open writing this in her lyrics, but in her commentary about how so many people in her estate working in construction and shops, and they lost their jobs. So many people becoming unemployed. And that, you know, just over the course of a year or 18 months at the depths of this recessionary times, that, you know, in going to school, she became very conscious of that people around her were losing people and realizing that they were being lost to suicide. And she's since, because she's seen this through the lens as a then teenager, she has since now, as part of writing this album, gone back to do her research on the number of male suicides that happened in Ireland at this time. And she says herself, it's astronomical. And, you know, she's been, as a lyricist who's taking responsibility for making sure she's factually correct in this, has gone back to the National Suicide Research Foundation for that period from, say, 2004 to 2014, which does show that after those years of decline, there was this sudden upward surge in the number of suicides between, I think it's the years 2008 and 2010 in particular, that she's been honing in on to really kind of hold us now accountable to those years of trauma. There's still, I think it's fair to say, the silent epidemic in Ireland when it comes to suicide. We know incredible charities like Pieta do such extraordinary work in this area. But she's really, I think, in it with this Euro Country album that's coming out now, I think she's going to turn the lights back on this period in Ireland. That have we all actually grieved enough and understood enough and processed enough and made sense of it? And maybe putting the responsibility back on all of us to make sure we don't repeat those mistakes of the past, and probably ask the question back on all of us. Have we learned our lessons from that boom to bust moment that we're actually set up as a society and as a people and as citizens having each other's backs in a different way this time around?
Yeah, have we processed it and have we learned from it?
Very, very old places. Very, very old places. So it's done now. Lost my mind there for a bit, but it sounds great. So who cares?
We're talking about CMAT today, Anya, but there has been an article in the Irish Times recently saying it's only now that we're beginning to hear CMAT on Irish radio. You know, why has it taken so long for radio stations to catch up when she was such a big hit around the world? Would you agree?
Yeah, and look, there are enough nighttime radio programmes, particularly on competing organisations, that I do think have tried to elevate and empower. But it comes to primetime radio, there is a gender disparity, and we know that through Why Not Her, an organisation that's just measuring the data, because they're big proponents of what gets measured, gets done, what gets tracked, what gets understood. And like every year they come out with their report. Most recently, they were looking at January 1st, I think it was, to July 1st, 2025 this year, and just 14 Irish acts in the top 100 most played songs on Irish radio were Irish. And I think something like 86% of the top 100 chart was made up of international acts. So, you know, like people always compare across to the BBC and how the BBC really elevates through all of its various different stations, local UK acts, and try to give them that platform to make sure that they can kind of be springboarded onto the runway, that they'll get the international playtime. And I think we do some of that, but the data clearly shows we're not doing enough to make sure that we actually are given a runway for this extraordinary generation, an incredible generation that are shining a light, that have it all going in terms of the storytelling and the vocal range and the hilarity and the political stances. And we just need to make sure our organisations are held accountable. I think it's probably a debate for another day whether there should be gender metrics and thresholds set on how many female artists should be played, you know, in a given hour on a given day. Like, rather than having to kind of actually do mandatory enforcement here, it would be just amazing if Irish stations collectively felt, actually, we got to put on the green jersey here and make sure we're elevating those coming out of this country at this extraordinary time that you're playing your part in it.
I think it's just a case of like women being kind of held down for such a long time and having so many barriers to entry for such a long time, that the minute that that's lifted a little bit, you just have the floodgates open and everybody comes through. And it's also, you have people like me and people like I know Last Dinners just like sitting in their teenage bedrooms being like, any women at all. And then you kind of know that that's your motivation going forward, is to try and get other girls out of their bedrooms where they spend all their time on the internet. You know, it's like, yeah, I think it's a cycle.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not a difficult thing to do. The music's absolutely class.
It's not hard to do. And I would also just say, I think it is a valid point. The IMRO checks that artists receive for radio play are not insignificant in a time when, you know, a lot of these artists are struggling to make a living and streaming is difficult. And that's a conversation for another day. Significant radio play is significant financially for these artists. It's low-hanging fruit. This is an eminently solvable problem. I really feel strongly that we can fix it.
To finish, Molly, if News Talk Daily's listeners are at All Together Now this weekend, where she is performing, or if you get a chance to see her in the future, and I'd highly recommend you do, what song would you say, look out for that? Is there a lyric in particular that really resonates with you?
Oh, that's a hard one, because I've just been rinsing the four singles back to back to back. I guess for its resonance, and as like Anya so clearly and kind of explained, I think Euro Country is the one that's kind of packed the most emotional punch, particularly the chorus. And any of us who lived through the crash and people my age who were teenagers around the time 2008, 2009, I think it'll strike a chord. So, you know, the lyrics that you've already mentioned, but all the big boys, all the Berties, all the envelopes. Yeah, they hurt me. I was 12 when the dads started killing themselves all around me. I really do feel strongly that we're lucky to live in a time where we have artists like CMAT, but other musicians, you know, we have Gurrier saying all my friends are dipping out. Kojak, town's not dead, it's just dormant. For those I love, your dad crashed the banks and kept his job. You know, we're living in a kind of a golden era of Irish music kind of stepping into its own in terms of confidence. And I think we're exceptionally lucky to be living in a time where we have these artists that are kind of synthesizing and crystallizing what it means to be Irish in 2025. And I think that diversity and clarity of perspective, it helps us understand ourselves as a people. You know, I think Euro Country is the song to look out for and the song to listen to in your own time. But yeah, I personally, as someone who's such a huge fan of Irish musicians and hopes to do my bit by platforming them, I just think we're in a fantastic time and all of this music will help us kind of make sense of who we are and where we're going.
Molly King and Anya Kerr, thank you so much for joining me on News Talk Daily today. As I mentioned, CMAT is going to be performing at All Together Now Festival this weekend. News Talk's going to be there too. So if you're down at the festival, do come and join us at the Go Loud Lounge. There's an incredible lineup of interviews, games, conversations planned as part of the Go Loud Lounge on the site. Just picking one thing, the Hard Shoulders, Kieran Cudahy, he's going to be hosting a Strangers Quiz at 2 p.m. on Sunday. If you fancy taking part, do keep an eye on News Talk's socials for all the details. But that's it for today's episode. The clips come courtesy of the BBC, RTE, Other Voices, The Enemy and CMAT herself.
Where do we go when we die? Blanchardstown Shopping Centre? Because it has everything you need. Big cinema,
pennies, my mom.
I'm away to listen to see Matt for the entire afternoon and get excited for the weekend. From me, Ciara Doherty, enjoy the rest of your day.